We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Turkey cold snacks.
In these little holiday cans, these gay holiday cans.
I was about to say, these are very gay.
I love a gay can.
I love a gay.
Yeah.
I'd love to
anything gay.
These gays are trying to kill me.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sampson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
It's perfect.
We got a biscuit maker.
Oh, yeah. He gets lost in the sauce of his biscuit making. Like, his eyes just, like, glaze over, and his pupils are huge.
This is amazing.
He's entering sauce zone.
I love how black cats just have such specific little, like, weird quirks.
He gets a little too into it. Calm down.
Do you know why they do that? I actually recently looked it up.
Why?
Because when they're kittens, they used to do that on their mom's mm-hmm. bellies while they were feeding. Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's a covered thing. Eh. So whenever Meows is doing it on me, when she's just, like, cuddling, I'm like, yeah, I am your mom.
When he does it on me, he does not stop. I have to make him stop.
I mean, he goes fast.
He goes ham on the biscuits.
Yeah, Meows is more of like a slow biscuit maker.
Gramps is not really a biscuit guy.
Interesting.
He does it a little bit here and there, but not nearly as aggressively as Gatsby. But
Gramps is a weird little dude. I love him so much.
He is a weird dude.
He has such a fun personality.
He was supposed to be my cat's cat. But I'm his cat.
Yeah, that's so real.
He's not even my cat. I am his cat.
Yeah.
Screaming at me until I can pick him up.
How the fuck does that happen? Also, I started crying the other night. I don't know if you saw my TikTok. I deleted the first one of me sobbing, taking the video, because I was like, okay, there are people, like, there's so much more important shit going on right now than, like, what I'm crying about. So I deleted it and then did a post-cry video asking for advice about introducing a cat and a dog, because the only stress that I have about moving in with Frank is the fact that Meows is going to be uncomfortable. And in that moment, I was realizing, like, this bitch would not give a fuck if I died, you know? And here I am sobbing at 2 a.m. about, like, whether or not she's going to be comfortable in her bedroom that she has at this new place. She's going to have a whole corridor.
Meanwhile, this guy can't get enough biscuits.
I've never seen a stance quite like that in my life. I wish we were recording video. Before we jump into convo, Liz and I were just talking about what the next few months are going to look like, which are nuts. Mm-hmm. We've never taken a break from this podcast. We've taken 2 weeks off.
Yeah, at max, we take 2 weeks off.
Which is...
I feel like... I don't think we ever actually have taken... Because we would record in advance, and then we'd do solo episodes back and forth.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like we got a break, but not really.
Yeah.
So, December, we are taking a break.
Yes. But we're not breaking up.
No. No.
We were on a break.
We're going to return for the new year.
Yeah.
New year, new us.
Maybe it'll be a season 2 after 3 years.
Yeah. We'll finally have a season 2, 160 something episodes in.
Yeah. We have long seasons. We can't because we have separation anxiety
so
from y'all.
Yeah.
Literally, that's why we haven't taken a break, because we're like, oh, but we're going to miss them.
They're going to be disappointed in us.
But now that we know y'all, as well as we do, we know that you won't be disappointed in us. So we're actually going to take time off.
Well, because if any of our listeners were like, I'm exhausted, what should I do? We'd be like, take some time off. What are you doing?
Right. Stop putting take these expectations break. On yourself.
Yeah. So I just moved. Amelia's moving. And as anyone who's moved knows, moving is, I think it takes years off of your life.
Yeah.
It takes more years off of your life than smoking does. I'm convinced.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the next class action lawsuit commercial that we see. Have you been a victim of moving since
2020?
Yeah.
I just feel like everything you since 2020 has been shit.
You might be entitled to monetary
compensation.
Thank you.
Yeah, because moving, you have to pay.
Yeah.
I should be reimbursed for my labor and stress.
I'm out
which
like
is
four...
emotional labor.
Oh. Yeah. Arguably harder than physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some boxes to lift. That'll hurt for a few minutes. But you know what? Stress hurts a fucking lifetime, dog.
It affects everything. It affects your sleep. It affects your stomach. Gives you grays.
Wrinkles.
It just gives you the worst of everything.
Yeah.
Should we start talking about our topic? Our topic?
I would love to.
I am thrilled to discuss this. As we have alluded, we are going to be discussing Britney Spears' new autobiography, The Woman in Me. I highly recommend listening to it on audiobook. I actually didn't even hear that.
That's good. I'm chaos over here. I just spilled beer on myself.
Okay, it's okay.
Continue.
The Woman in Me. Oh, yeah. I highly recommend listening to it on audiobook, and it's available through Spotify.
Are you serious? I just paid for it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, I mean, after how much her family siphoned from her, how much money
energy. If Jamie Spears ends up with any of that $13 in his pocket, I'm suing Amazon. Do you hear me, Bezos? You're not even involved anymore, but I'm suing you. I just started listening to it on audiobook. Speaking of $13 going into Britney Jean Spears' pockets, I'm only on chapter 2, but from what I've heard so far,
I have listened to the book from beginning to end. I listened to it in a span of 2 days because I listened to it while I was packing.
That's brilliant.
Great idea. And my first thought, just reflecting after the book had finished, was Wendy Williams really that out of line when she said death to the Spears family?
No. Were people actually mad about that?
That was a little bit of an aggressive thing to say, and even she was shocked.
Oh, I know. She like looked around like
she's like, oh.
Honestly, the Holy Spirit took over her body in that moment, and I'm not mad at her for it.
I think she maybe got a glimpse into the future.
Yeah, that's why it shocked her.
But this will include some spoilers, so if you don't want it to be spoiled, or if you don't even just want to know anything about the book, then maybe skip this.
Or listen to it silently so we get the ad dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kidding. Sorry, I'm $13 out from this book. I need y'all. Just kidding.
Reimbursement. Listen to it on Spotify for, well, I guess not free. It's like part of your premium membership.
Mm-hmm.
But this is our first time hearing Britney give her side of her experience after her conservatorship.
Yeah.
And what it was actually like. And it's shocking. She also tells about her entire life leading up to the conservatorship.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, in the small amount that I've read, what's shocked me so far in just the first two chapters is like the generational trauma that's involved in her life, too, which
is no
excuse for, you know, how her family is. But like, it's just so interesting how she opens up the whole book talking about like her like dad's dad and how awful he was to him and how she never saw that he was just her grandpa, but like how that affected him and would then like, you know, he took it out on her, you know what I mean? Like it's just interesting that she chose to open up like that to begin with.
I think an interesting note on that too is her grandmother. I think it was her grandmother on her mom's side. It sounds like she really relates to her, and in her old age, she was prescribed lithium, and lithium is what started to kind of make her lose herself.
Yeah.
And lithium is pretty serious.
That's some heavy stuff. Yeah.
It's a really serious antipsychotic. Mm-hmm. But later, when Brittany was in her conservatorship, she was prescribed lithium. And she talks about when she was on lithium and she, like, when she came home from an involuntary rehab, her family was talking to her and she was like, I just remember thinking, like, what the fuck is going on right now? She had no idea what was going on around her.
That's so scary.
Mm-hmm. So back to like the beginning and earlier parts of the book, she does talk about, you know, dating Justin Timberlake and whatnot. But she also talks about how she lost her virginity at 14.
I heard that.
And when you think about just like what a chaotic buzz that the media had around her virginity and her body was bizarre. I've been seeing clips of interviews with her when she was like 16 and they're like, are you a virgin? And she's just like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Can you imagine those questions being asked now? I mean, there's still frenzy around like young women's virginities, but like,
but this is, it was egregious. Especially weird.
Yeah. It was so in her face, mm-hmm. every single thing. And like when she, like there was speculation about whether or not she got a boob job, everyone was asking her about her boobs in a way that wasn't like, so did you get any work done, which is still rude, but like a little bit less direct. People were like, so your tits, like you did something to them, you know?
She's like I'm 17.
Yeah, right. It's just it's
disgusting.
Absolutely bananas. And then I know we're going to get more into the book, but it's bananas that somebody would go through that kind of media scrutiny. And then people are still like, oh, why did she like go off the deep end? Like, why did she like shave her head, which she talks about in the book?
Mm-hmm.
But like the things that the country put her through and then scrutinized her for being affected by it.
She's just like so, so famous. She's Britney fucking Spears, you know? They called her, like, what? The queen of pop? Mm-hmm. Princess of pop? Both, you know?
Yeah, she could be both.
She's both.
Yeah, she's her own mother.
I mean, she really was.
Yeah.
She, after she became successful, I think especially after she was on the Mickey Mouse Club, she was providing for her family at a very young age. And she talks about that, like, she talks about how Jamie Lynn didn't appreciate anything that Britney had provided for them because she didn't understand how destitute they were before that. And money was always a big struggle. Her dad struggled with being an alcoholic her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about being afraid when he would drive her places because he was probably intoxicated.
Yeah.
And just how he abused them because he had a drinking problem. And so she talks about, I mean, that's parentification, providing for your entire family,
mm-hmm.
as a child. And trying to, she also talks about how as a kid she like wanted to be seen but didn't want anyone to see her, like,
wow.
And that is such a relatable feeling, like wanting to be acknowledged and perceived, but then also just like not wanting people to look at you and like think about you. It's just, that was such a relatable part of it to me.
That's wild that that's like somebody of her esteem,
mm-hmm.
experienced that. Because like that, she was like the really, really far end of the being perceived spectrum. She was like as far as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to not want that kind of attention when she was a kid to then being thrust into such a spotlight.
Oh, yeah. And then people asking you the most violating questions. Yeah. I'm sure a piece of her knew that was what was going to come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already like, you know, she was robbed of a lot of like critical growing experiences.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Yeah. Another thing, too, that I was like, I don't know if she realizes that this is fucked up because to her it's like a fond memory, but her mom would like give her drinks when she was 13.
Like full drinks, not just like sips? Like,
no.
What the fuck?
Yeah, like they'd have their own little, their own cocktails.
It's like the Mean Girls mom.
Yes, literally. Why? Because if you want a little, I'd rather you have it in the house. So like moving on through her career, she just was kind of like a badass the entire time. And then it gets to the point where she does talk about her relationship with Justin Timberlake. And I think she probably does see it as like a young love experience. But the part of it that I think is especially traumatic is just, you know, she loved him a lot. That was like her first real love.
And they grew up together too.
Mm-hmm. They grew up together and she got pregnant. This is a big part of the book. And then her assistant was like her best friend, essentially, and like kind of her mom, from what it sounds like. And her assistant didn't want anybody, because her assistant would provide like supervision. Her parents were like off doing who knows what the fuck.
Yeah.
And then she just had this woman who was like a cool aunt to her almost. And her they didn't want anybody to have the potential of finding out. So she did not go to a doctor's office. They did some like backdoor shit to get the abortion pill. And then as it was happening, she was like writhing on the floor in pain in the bathroom. And that's when Justin Timberlake is like, I'm going to get a guitar and sing you a song. And nowhere in the book is she like, and that really like calmed me down.
No, of course not.
It's just this man singing to her that would honestly be kind of a devastating experience.
Oh, absolutely. I know I said this last week, but it's like the scene in Barbie. With I wanna push you.
Yeah, that is literally what I imagine he was singing.
That's probably what he was singing.
Before it even came out.
But yeah, that's a very like, I know, yeah, he wrote it in that moment. Yeah, fun fact. Like, that's actually that's the origin of the song. But like, you're so right that the vision or like the image in my head of like going through something so traumatic and then having somebody be so like out of touch with what you're going through.
Like she wanted that baby, but then, you know, in her book she's also like, a lot of people might hate me for saying this, like for saying she did get an abortion, but I'm really glad that she did talk about it. And her explanation for it too is like, you know, I wouldn't have wanted to do this, but I also like, this is his life too, and I don't want to bring his baby into the world and he doesn't want it.
Totally.
Essentially.
Right. And also like thinking about what the media was doing to her at the time, that would have been the most stressful pregnancy ever for her.
Absolutely.
Which is not good for a baby. And then like to raise a baby in the spotlight like that. I mean, obviously, like, it's been done before, whatever, whatever. And she did want the baby. But, like, thinking about what she was going through at the time, that would have been an awful pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Having to, like, run from paparazzi, like, being called a slut, like,
oh, yeah,
very publicly.
Because they weren't married. And then
they were, like, the pictures of, like, staying, like, not having sex until marriage, and mm-hmm. then here they are pregnant before being married, you know?
Yeah, they both had different types of reputations to
uphold,
live up to, a bunch of impossible standards. And then I think, like, part of the most tragic piece of it is just how heartbroken she was when he broke up with her too.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, I don't think that it was that much time between when she had this abortion and when they broke up. And it sounds like he was consistently cheating on her throughout their relationship. And she, like, made out with a guy and then told him. And then they, like, got past it.
And then Crimea, like, River,
whatever,
came out.
I'm fucking other people. Yeah.
So, which, and that, have you seen that music video?
No.
The imagery, it's so clearly, the song is obviously about her just based on when it came out, mm-hmm. but, like,
I think I literally never knew that.
The video, well, it's, the video really drives it home, because, mm-hmm. like, there's, like, the character in there is blonde, wears, like, the same clothes, the same hat that, like, Britney was wearing a lot at the mm-hmm. time. It's very clearly, like, Britney imagery, and it fucked her. Like, how he talked about that breakup fucked her career in so many ways.
Yeah.
And then he did the same thing with Janet Jackson. Like, blamed her for the nip slip at the Super Bowl, and then her career got fucked.
His lack of accountability. And then he's, like, America's sweetheart for a while.
Yeah.
That would be devastating to see.
Oh, my God.
The peak of your ex's career while you're just, like, the fingers being pointed at you, even though this guy was chronically sleeping with other people while you were together through the duration of your relationship.
Right.
Anyways, moving past that, I think this is one of the biggest pieces to me, was when she was talking about her relationship with Kevin Federline. He was just, like, there and provided, like a sense of safety for her that she never had, a sense of physical safety. She talks about how he would just hold her when she wanted to be held, and, like, it makes sense. Like, yeah. This is, she wanted a man in her life to be supportive.
Yeah.
Because she's had to be both of her own parents.
Yeah. She's never had the comfort from a man that she,
yeah, like a stable man,
yeah,
figure in her life. And I think also she wanted to be loved. She wanted a family. And this guy was there, like, providing that for the time being. And that they got married and had kids. Also, she talks about her little Vegas marriage thing. And so her, like, little, she like, married one of her high school friends, and it's because they were just, like, out partying and had a fun night in Vegas, and, like, they got married in Vegas, and then her family, like, flipped out on her because she's in the news, and they're like, what the hell are you doing? And she's like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just having fun.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, it's like, yeah, I've seen way more chaotic shit happening in Vegas. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter that she's famous. She just was, like, having a fun night out with her friends and, like, had this silly wedding, and it wasn't going to be real anyways.
Right.
And they were pretty intoxicated at that point too.
I think that it's like, I remember when that happened, everybody, like, thought of it as such, like, a, like, oh my God, she's slipping. Like, she just got.
Oh, yeah.
It was such, like, a thing. And then, like, when you think about it for what it is.
Yeah. She, like, a kid just, like, being a kid.
Yeah. Like, that's, like, a funny thing that people do. That's like, oh, fuck, we got married last night. We better go get it annulled.
Well, and, like, how often do you see, like, young people on TikTok or whatever, like, doing the same shit?
I guess from the perspective of, like, you know, he could take half of everything.
That's fair.
But, yeah, like,
so they got, doesn't seem like they got, like, annulled because it wasn't real.
Right.
And but then went back to Kevin Federline. You know, she marries him and she's like, okay, I'm going to be, she like wanted to be like a wife and like a loyal wife to him. And she was so excited to have their baby. And, essentially like after she had their first son, he like is focusing on his bullshit career. I think Jimmy Fallon called him a no-hit wonder. But she was like upset about that comment because she was like, he's still like the father of my children.
Totally.
He's still my husband.
But it was wild at the time for somebody like her to be with somebody like him that nobody had heard of.
All of us were like, who the fuck is this deadbeat?
Right.
Who happened to slink into her life when she was at like her lowest, one of her lowest points.
Yeah.
So, you know, she has these two kids. Everyone is like seeing Kevin Federline as like, kind of a piece of white trash, I think is the public perception of him. And she, as this is all happening, he's being just a terrible partner. And her publicist tells her to initiate the divorce because he's going to do it anyways. And it will be better if she initiates the divorce. But it ends up backfiring on her. And he goes for like full custody, I think. And at this point, everyone is scrutinizing her as a mother. And literally all she wants is to have a little family. Mm-hmm. And, he's going for full custody. He won't let her see them. And that's when she starts to kind of like lose it. This is when we see her in 2007, like, shaving her head, like hitting a paparazzi's car with her umbrella,
which was
like
the same night.
Yeah, it's just she had just when she talks about that night when she goes to shave her head and she's like in a custody battle and she has been trying to see her two kids, like they are babies at this point too, just little tiny babies, and it she's being denied seeing her own children. So she is just like having a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And she says someone commented if someone like kept their kids from her, she would have done way more than get a haircut, like a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
So like people to criticize her shaving her head, like she was pissed. She's like, the paparazzi's harassing her nonstop while she's in this custody battle. Because she just wants her kids. She just wants her fucking kids. She wants to see them. She wants to spend time with them. Mm-hmm. That's it. That was like the root of everything. This is when it just really started to spiral out. Is she so desperately wanted to be with her own children and was denied that right at every turn. And then when she's having this like crisis, because she's also experiencing postpartum depression and she talks about that. So she's in postpartum depression and her kids are being kept from her.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she's gonna shave her fucking head.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's losing her mind.
She,
because nothing matters at that point. You're just like, all I want is to see my kids and like no one will let me do that.
Yeah. I remember like she was, before the book came out, she had made some statement about that moment of her shaving her head, and it was like she just wanted people to stop touching her. Like she just wanted, like,
oh, she talks about her hair as a big piece of like her perception and how people treated her.
Yeah, it's all of these things that have like that led up to like that like moment too, and also everything after. Like, I've realized recently how Britney Spears is such a victim of like the patriarchy and men taking advantage of her, like from her dad putting her in the conservatorship, Justin Timberlake burying her career for like her doing what he had done, and then him getting away unscathed,
threw her under the bus, even though he was like doing way worse.
Right. Kevin Federline taking the kids from her because she was able to look crazy.
And he was using her to launch his own career.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet he also did that like by keeping the kids. He's like, oh, well, this guy's much more stable of a father than Britney Spears. Look at what she's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And then this is when her family gets involved, is when she's having this kind of like crisis. But she does talk about when she wrote and recorded Blackout. That was like one of the happiest times she's ever had. Like, she says recording that album was so easy, and that was when she had her two kids and was still able to like be with them, and she was just like in and out of the studio. And
which,
like,
songs were on Blackout?
Piece of Me.
Oh, that was the perfect song for that era.
I remember when that song came out, my mom was like, fuck yeah, the song is so perfect.
That was such a cool song. That was like around when her sound was like really changing too.
Yeah, yeah. And she does talk about how like she loves experimenting with music, and like that's what her fans expect from her. And then anyways, moving forward, like when she's in this conservatorship, she's like, what the fuck? I don't need to be in a conservatorship. And they're like, this is just to like help, whatever. And she essentially had no say or control in anything. And anytime she would push back, she was punished. So she was constantly talking to therapists. Every time she went to rehab, she was forced to go to rehab, and she was never addicted to anything. They were just making her go to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like eventually just kind of going with it.
Yeah,
because it's,
she had
like
no choice.
She tried so hard too. She tried so hard to do everything they said, be a good performer, have her show on the Vegas Strip, and like do everything she needed to do just so she could have her kids back in
mm-hmm.
her life.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so sad?
And everything that they were putting her through was perpetuating the image that she couldn't handle it, like mm-hmm. putting her on lithium. And like, I remember before all of this came out, when she was still in the conservatorship, my therapist was like, it's so clear that they're bringing this woman out of her house, making her perform. They're pumping her full of drugs to perform,
yeah.
then putting her back in her house. And like, it was just that over and over and over again.
Oh, they also were like saying she was addicted to like over the counter. It's probably just pre-workout. It was like caffeine pills and stuff, because she was dating a gym guy. And they were like, you can't be taking these supplements. And it was just like caffeine pills and shit. She's like, this is available over the counter. Like,
that is so maddening.
I know.
It's just like, I'm not doing anything. Like, and for nobody to believe you and to be so alone in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You have all of these people around you gaslighting you and telling you like you're crazy. You need our help. And then she has all of these therapists who are, you know, selected by her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
fuck Jamie Spears.
Like, as it continues and gets worse, and she's on lithium and she has no idea what the fuck's going on. She had an allowance. She had an allowance of her own money,
mm-hmm.
which is it's just glaring you right in the face that her dad specifically it was using the conservatorship to get his bag, essentially.
Yeah.
He got accustomed to a lifestyle, and his daughter making mistakes in the public eye is fucking up his lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's repulsive.
Totally.
And then Jamie Lynn Spears has always been kind of a jealous little bitch, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she's living in her sister's shadow, but yeah. She's inadequate.
She's what? Inadequate?
I'm mad at the whole family. Justice for Wendy Williams.
I mean, yeah, justice for Wendy. That's the point of this whole episode.
That's going to be the title of this episode. I'm just kidding.
Justice for Wendy Williams.
the Britney Spears story.
It's just Jamie. She just never really understood the struggles that Britney had to deal with, and didn't really wasn't able to understand that the lifestyle she had was because of Britney, and Britney was basically a parent to her parents. So she got to live an entirely different life experience. It's I've heard someone explain, like, you can have the same parents, but you will not have the same childhood experience.
Yeah.
And that's true with every child, because yeah. your parents learn something different each time. And this is especially different because now your first child is providing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
what?
She talks about the Free Britney movement.
Oh,
so
good.
She's in her last bout of rehab. And this is when people are really starting to speculate, like, what the fuck is going on with Britney? Like, this conservatorship is getting out of hand. And do you remember the big rally for Free Britney?
Yeah.
Because they were suspecting she was in rehab against her will, and she was. And one of the nurses there, she says in her book, she's like, and she was the realest bitch there. Like,
yes.
Then one of the nurses brings her over to the computer and she's like, look at this, and shows her a news article about like Free Britney.
Wow.
And she was like, I just want to thank my fans so much. Like, honestly, the way she talks about her fans is like how her fans were her family before her actual family was.
Yeah.
And she's like, thank you so much for like being so supportive. Like, none of this would be possible without you. And she talks about, I think that one of the most interesting things of the whole book too, is just her acknowledging the parentification that she experienced and how she does oscillate between these different ages. Mm-hmm. Like, the woman in me is literally about the woman inside of her, because she is an adult woman who can make her own fucking decisions and has lived a very, like, she's lived like a million lifetimes in one life.
Yeah.
Before age 40. And that's why sometimes when you see her in her videos, she's kind of acting like a little girl.
Yeah.
Because that part of her is wounded.
Yeah.
So her doing these, like, things that maybe seem a little weird online is like she's playing.
Yeah,
essentially she's letting herself like just live her fucking life.
Right. She's doing what she's always wanted to do.
Exactly.
And has never been able to do.
She's never been able to do it because she was the breadwinner for her family, and she's never been able to do it because of how she was treated in the peak of like raunch patriarchal culture.
Yeah,
like the early and mid 2000s, that's like peak raunch culture. That's when we have Girls Gone Wild and shit like that. Like, porn is available on computers now.
Yeah,
it's just, yeah, she was absolutely victimized by it, and it robbed her of just having these very simple life experiences that she wanted to have, which is a fucking family and to spend time with her kids.
Yeah.
And instead she was treated like a cash cow, literally. Mm-hmm. Just like hooked up to all these drugs. She was having her blood drawn all the time. Like, for what?
That's absolutely bananas.
Just to keep her delusional.
It's also what struck me in the Free Britney documentary, that I think it was the New York Times did it, like how responsible she was for every decision that she made in her career. Like, she choreographed the dances with all the choreographers. She picked like her outfits. She picked what song she did at the award shows. Like, she was very in control of everything. She was very competent. She wasn't like a media plant. Like, she got there because she was so smart and so dedicated, and then just everything got yanked from her so fast, and she got like punished, I guess, for like being so good at what she does, because people were trying to like wring her dry of everything that she had.
Yeah,
because she was so successful. So it was just like, it's such a sad thing to look back on in hindsight now, too, with when we were living it. It was so the norm for women to be scrutinized publicly, like she was being scrutinized. So it was like, oh yeah, well, of course Britney Spears is, because she's like the biggest name ever. And looking back on it now, it's like disgusting.
Oh yeah, like, she was treated so unfairly.
Horribly.
Like, and part of me, when I was listening to this, like, I think I had just seen the Eras Tour movie, and I was thinking to myself, like, what would Britney have had if she had the kind of support that Taylor had? And it just made me really sad.
Yeah.
And even in court or something, like, Britney pointed out how Miley Cyrus was like, because they had the same representation, how Miley was allowed to like do a bunch of crazy shit, but like Britney can't even like get her IUD removed. Like,
yeah,
she had no bodily autonomy.
Right.
And the fact that we watched this happen, like, the most, one of the most famous iconic celebrities in the world was not even allowed to have a say in what was happening to her body.
Yeah.
It is shocking and disgusting. And it's just like,
until very recently, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just all around a very like revealing book, just to see what, to hear what she had to say about like what her actual experience was. And there's just pieces that she talks about too, about like different performances, like when she had to go on stage and
I already know what you're gonna say.
Yeah, I can't remember what the song was. I think it's like it's Britney Bish, whatever.
Yeah,
I can't remember that what the name of that song is. Well, because she's like she wasn't allowed to see her kids, and then she didn't want to perform, but she had to anyways. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't ready to perform in the outfit that they put her in. Like, she wasn't confident. She was like, I could see myself on the screen and I felt horrible. And then everyone's like, oh, Britney Spears is fat. It's like, she just had a baby. Yeah. And she had her postpartum is like better than my body will ever look and has ever looked.
It's just, people were holding her to like her. They were comparing her to herself from when she was 17.
Yeah. A literal teenager.
Which
no
is
one's
gross.
Gonna look like that. She just has this very tragic story. And it reminded me a lot of Jessica Simpson's autobiography too, which I didn't read, but I listened to a like podcast series about it. I might as well have listened to the audiobook. But just the way that these women in the early and mid 2000s were treated is pretty horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, families like Jessica and Brittany like didn't grow up with any money. And then they end up being the breadwinners for their families.
Yeah.
And then they're treated, they're like the most beautiful women in the world. And then they're treated like they're like fucking idiots and can't make decisions, even though they both had a lot of control in their own careers.
Right, exactly. They were both very competent artists and mm-hmm. just competent people all along. And like the media was so complicit in all of this too. And
I always think about the South Park episode about her. Have you seen that?
No.
It's just like it rings true and hits home even harder when you like watch it after hearing her audiobook. I should rewatch it, but essentially the premise is she's the biggest pop star, and then in the South Park episode she tries to kill herself, and the media won't leave her alone.
Mm-hmm.
And like in this episode the media drove her to trying to commit suicide.
Right.
So then in this episode she has like half of her head and she's still alive, and they're making her perform and try and have
Fuck.
This comeback. And it's just like listening to the audiobook and remembering that episode, I was just like kind of angry. I was so angry. Well, and like South Park is so good at doing that too.
Yeah.
Of just like honing in right on the most like relevant and important piece, and it will maintain its relevancy throughout decades.
Those creators of that show, they wrote Book of Mormon too. They mm-hmm. they are the most genius group of people.
When you can identify issues in like social issues and see that they will remain relevant, I don't know, that's just like a level of brilliance that one day I hope I could achieve a sliver of.
These cartoonists are time travelers, man.
They really are.
Like the Simpsons, just
they just have a variety. They have such a array of writers, especially mm-hmm. for the Simpsons. You know, they have like scientists helping write some of these jokes, so like even the smartest people have something to laugh at. Anyways, it's so worth listening to.
Does she talk about Sam Asghari?
A little bit, yeah. But when she wrote it, are they still married?
No.
So they were still married when she wrote it.
Oh, okay.
Because she references it like they're still married.
Damn.
But it sounds like he was pretty supportive.
Good.
Through her conservatorship ending.
That's what it seemed like.
One piece. I keep like remembering little bits of it. She talks about when her mom wrote like an autobiography after, you know, Britney like shaved her head, and she goes on this talk show and talks about like how badly Britney's doing and is like, my poor daughter, blah blah blah. So she's capitalizing off of her daughter's like pain instead of supporting her, mm-hmm. instead of being a fucking supportive parent. And then I think when the conservatorship ended, Jamie Lynn was like, oh shit, I better
better capitalize on
it. The glory days are over. I better get in front of this because Britney's going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And they've always had a contentious relationship. And she does say how she's trying to work on how her resentment towards her younger sister. And she's like, you know, I love my sister, but like, I'm trying to improve how I feel about her.
Do you remember when she had a baby when she was like 16?
Oh yeah. Britney talks about that too. Cause she's like,
that was such a thing at the time.
She's like, everyone's criticizing me. Meanwhile, no one's talking about how this child is having a child.
Yeah. Right.
And then she was like, she got applauded for it because she's still with her baby daddy.
Is she still even today?
I don't think so anymore. You know, I don't really know. To be honest, I don't give a shit about Jamie Lynn.
No, fuck Jamie Lynn. Death to the Spears. Just kidding. Just kidding. Justice for Wendy Williams. That sounds a lot like the Lohan family. Dina Lohan, like really, or Lohan. Yes. We all just recently learned that it's pronounced Lohan.
Who cares?
Dina. But Dina Lohan was like really, really capitalizing on Lindsay like slipping.
It's like what...
Yeah, what kind of parent?
The martyr mom story.
Yeah.
It's essentially what they're doing, and they didn't actually help their children at all.
No.
She does talk about how Paris Hilton was like one of the most supportive friends she had.
And Madonna, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when that night when she goes out with Lindsay Lohan and Paris Hilton, you know, Paris and Lindsay are like party girls, and like Britney's in amidst this custody battle, and everyone's like, she's a terrible mom because she went out with her friends, and then everyone's like harassing her about that, and she's like, literally all we did was like get a little drunk and dance. Like,
I remember during, like,
how often do you do that with your friends?
More than I should. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But nobody's writing articles about it.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with
that? I
don't
feel bad about it.
What, people don't write... am I not worth writing an article about?
Amelia Sampson.
Scrutinize me publicly.
Seen drinking an espresso martini at a local bar.
Write an article.
Getting the party going.
I'll give you content.
I'll write the article.
Thanks, Liz. Can we talk...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
About Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce real quick.
Absolutely.
Okay,
actually,
I cannot get over the karma's the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then she did it again.
Oh, she did it twice.
She did it the next night, I think. We think
probably because we all freaked out.
Yeah, but her dancers, did you see their reaction?
Yes.
To it? And then her running to him backstage. Oh my god, I love them so much, dude.
I saw this TikTok earlier. I'll have to send it to you when I can find it, but it's this person explaining like me before 11/11/23, which was the day of this concert, and they're like, yeah, you know, I do really like Taylor Swift. I don't know if I'd really like consider myself as a Swiftie, but I like her music. And then after, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah,
that is exactly how I feel, because I've said on this podcast, like, I, you know, I'm happy for her. I was a little suspicious that maybe it was a stunt, and
a PR stunt,
and the more things I see, it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, I know.
And I think a piece of it is because we know what it's like to be so in love,
yeah,
with really great men.
Yeah.
So when we see that represented, and I think other people are so happy about it too, because that's what they're experiencing too. Like Taylor Swift she's Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She's Taylor fucking Swift.
Right.
And she's dated men who, you know, are disrespectful, are honestly a little egotistical. And then she had this like 5-year relationship that we never saw anything about. Mm-hmm. She kept it pretty private. And I'm sure that was also partially because he wanted it private.
He seems very introverted.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen the videos of him at the one show that he went to of hers, the mm-hmm. Reputation tour? And like, she's singing a song about him and he's kind of like looking around and like smiling to himself, but it's because he's shy. But people are seeing it and they're like, fuck Joe Alwyn. Like, and then they like show Travis Kelce and he's like holding up the We Will Stay sign.
They're very different. They're both very different guys.
Yeah. And so I think that she needs, I honestly can't imagine a better person for her than like the profile of Travis Kelce, mm-hmm. like being like in his own career, but not needing the limelight, you know, and yeah. just being like there to support her.
I think the piece of it is he is aware that she is so much more famous than him
yeah.
and is fucking loves that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how Frank is with you. Like, cause it's like, okay, well, how do you feel about dating someone who has a very big online following and presence? Like a recognizable person. And he's like all in about it. He's like, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. He's not afraid. That like when I think of Travis Kelce, I immediately think of Frank, because
that's like the highest compliment.
It's just like he's all in. He's like riding for it, you know.
That's
I think that is something that as women we so rarely see mm-hmm. in relationships, is a strong and confident man like showing up to support his badass girlfriend or wife or whatever.
Yeah
Because you know who else is like that? ASAP Rocky.
Yeah,
with Rihanna.
I love that shit.
He fucking shows up. He loves being Rihanna's boo.
Yeah, totally.
He loves like being the father to their children.
Yeah,
like, he's just
an accessory.
He has his whole own career, and he's not threatened by the power of Rihanna. Like, he is completely enamored with her, and that's kind of what we see with Travis and Taylor Swift. He just like, I'm sure he loves that about her.
Yeah,
he's not threatened by, like, he's not a singer. You know? Yeah,
right. They're not competing for career. The limelight.
Exactly.
Another good example of that is Zendaya and Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
He is so proud of her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they were, I don't know if you've seen the red carpet interview where, like, he's being interviewed and then Zendaya comes in and you can hear just, like, the crowd erupting. And he's like, oh, Zendaya just walked in. And then he stops the interview and just, like, watches her walk in. And he's just, like, beaming. And it's like, he's having this moment, this career moment that could, like, is good for his job. And mm-hmm. he's still just like, hold on. Pause. Like, that's my boo.
I saw some other commentary online that is how she was whoever made the TikTok, she was talking about how what's happening in the public eye, like amongst celebrities or whatever, is a reflection of what is happening socially. So like, the reason people are so amped about this is because we are seeing a representation of a like strong, confident man showing up and being so supportive and not threatened, and like just completely admiring the women that they're dating.
Yeah.
And that is just like, we're saying no to being treated poorly as a collective.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean like men treating women poorly. I just mean in general, we're all showing up to say yes to relationships that are supportive and loving.
Yeah.
Like, she looked so happy.
Yeah. She like ran to him. She's never done that shit.
Exactly. It's like shocking how much she is showing off this relationship so confidently.
Yeah. He probably slings dick though.
Yeah.
He definitely got it on in Argentina. down south.
I have a hard time imagining them having sex. I guess though,
so does Frank.
I have a hard time imagining really anyone having sex, because when you think about it too much, like, I don't think about my friends having sex, to be honest. I'm
That seems normal.
That's for you guys.
Yeah.
I don't need to imagine.
That's a normal approach.
Yeah.
I feel like,
but especially with some celebrities, like, okay, Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox,
they have weird sex.
You can definitely imagine it.
They have weird sex, mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Yeah, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce. I'm having a hard time imagining it. I'm sure it is great.
He's just so large.
Yeah, they both seem like, it just seems like it'd be a good time.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, she deserves that. She's like, tour fit right now too. Oh. So she's probably like, just
her confidence in herself.
Oh my God.
Radiates.
She's had, I've never seen anybody at such a career peak.
Mm-hmm. For her to have this career peak and then have this fucking amazing relationship mm-hmm. amidst this career peak. I don't know. I was just like, oh my God, that's so cool. Right. And like, good things are still possible. Because I think it's just one of those things that provides like a little glimmer of hope for everybody.
Yeah.
Of just like, okay, amongst everything that fucking sucks, at least there's this really awesome thing happening that you can just like stand back and look at and be in awe of it. Not just their relationship, but I mean like where she's at in her career, how she was even able to accomplish this and what had to happen leading up to this. And it's just like, for me, it just kind of is a reflection of like a lot of bad things can happen and then like you don't know what's going to happen in the future, but it can pay off.
Yeah, totally. She's like gotten to such an amazing point in her life. I did a deep dive last night about her publicist, Tree Payne. Do you know who she is?
No, I need to. I mean, I've heard of her. I need to see a little bit more.
Bitch. She's like, she has been with Taylor since 2014, I think. So no, it was after college. It was 2014. So she was with her through the whole like Kanye leaking the phone call, her dropping the Karma album, which is, you know, a disputed claim, but yeah, I believe it. And then the Reputation era, and now like this whole like Eras tour, like she's been with her through the whole thing. And like mm-hmm. Taylor's starting to acknowledge her, like she was like walking the carpet for her film premiere and somebody was like, can we get a solo shot? And Taylor's like, you're gonna have to ask that redhead right there, she makes all the decisions for me. Which is so funny because it's just uh-huh. like, no, that's like breaking the fourth wall of like these people have a whole team.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I've just like, I just love this like image of this powerhouse like female team, like mm-hmm. helping this woman being like bolstered at this at this moment in her life when she had been scrutinized for so long, much like Britney Jean Spears.
Yeah.
In different ways, obviously, but like
this is the
picked apart by the media.
Like 2023, I think, has been a warm up for the year of the girls. In 2024 is the year of the girls, and you heard it here first, because
fuck yes,
what Barbie did for us
mm-hmm.
like, and I know that some people don't like the Barbie movie, and
you can suck my entire
you can
ass.
Have a hot take, whatever.
No, you have a bad opinion.
We still
sorry,
you're just wrong.
Yeah, that's the only time I'll ever say that an opinion's wrong. That film was so special, but anyway,
we still need to have a Barbie episode about how important it was.
Oh yeah we haven't done that yet.
I mean, we needed to talk about Britney Jean Spears first.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how we're starting the year of the girls.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had Barbie, and I think that was just, like, a really empowering moment. Like, so many people saw it more than once. And it's the highest grossing movie for all of Warner Brothers.
I don't think I knew that. I don't think I'd heard that.
That's how fucking good it was. And then we had the Eras tour happening as well
at the same summer. Yeah. That was wild.
And the Eras tour, I think the Eras tour kind of cleared the way for Barbie, and then Barbie happened, and then the Eras tour movie came out, and like Taylor blew up even more. And then she has this relationship, a very public relationship, representing everything that, you know, women have been looking for in relationships, which is just someone who like cheers them the fuck on. Like, women are so often expected to be the supporter, but I think Anna Faris explained it this way, like, in a relationship you need to take turns. Like, if you think about a relationship as a ring, you need to take turns being the setting and being the diamond. So like, and it's true, like
that.
And you just don't really see men in heterosexual relationships showing up to be the setting.
Yeah.
They need to, and even if they're not the diamond, like sometimes they don't even show up to be the fucking setting. And that's what it is. It's like, yeah, you need to show up to be like, this is the woman that I love and I'm gonna fucking lift her up into the sky. Like,
yeah,
she's gonna sparkle.
Fuck yes.
That's what it's about. It's about like providing the support needed and letting the person you love shine.
Speaking of the year of the girl, this is my last thing. I know that
you had a little smile on your face.
I know. I meant to talk to you about this. I'm so glad I remembered before we stopped recording. Have you seen that Kim Kardashian was named one of GQ's Men of the Year?
I love that.
It is. I haven't like looked at any of the, like, obviously Fox News has probably been running a story about this all day.
Oh, I love how many like people are freaking out about. Isn't Boy Genius also Men of the Year or something?
Are they?
I saw something about Boy Genius like being called Men of the Year or Man of the Year or something. But I love that Kim Kardashian was called Man of the Year.
Look at these covers. I need to get your reaction to them.
I did see these. I mean, she looks great per usual.
I love that she got this title.
I love this one.
It's so good.
Sponsored by Reese's. Probably.
I love her cover too. There's like all of these men listed around her, like also featuring. And then just all these men. It's just Kim Kardashian in the middle.
Part of me does kind of wonder if this is like, I don't know. Like, are they, because Dylan Mulvaney was named Woman of the Year.
Yeah.
And people were very upset about that because she's trans.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me is wondering if this was just kind of like to make fun of Dylan Mulvaney.
Definitely not, especially with Caitlyn being like Caitlyn Jenner, like being a part of Kim's family too. I don't think that she would have ever have like co-signed on something like
that. That's fair.
But like, she is a badass in a way that a lot of people like societally expect men to be.
That's
like
true.
She like has run all of, she runs this company.
She does not fuck around. She doesn't fuck around. Skims, business decisions.
Skims is now the official underwear of the NBA, which is that's bananas. Mm-hmm. And nobody's like, well, Kim Kardashian, like, she has done such a good job like clearing her name of all of the shit that everybody associated her name with.
Well, she was kind of like, have you ever seen reality stars be treated the way the Kardashians are? No. Like, she took her whole family with her up out of this like perception of reality television stars, which is just like, they're trash.
Yeah,
they're campy, they're trashy. And she has elevated her entire family out of that, which is that's a very hard accomplishment.
It's the year of the girl, baby.
2024
and beyond. Amen.
I think that's a good ending note.
Yeah, I think so too.
The way to end this episode, I think we will have two-ish more.
Yeah. This isn't our last one of the year. We have the rest of November,
and then we'll return back for the year of the girls.
Oh my god! Beginning of January, and I'll have a little home studio. Like, actually, have a home studio at my new place.
Hell yeah! Until you get it all set up, hopefully we'll have a...
We can bounce back and forth.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh my God, I'm only 6 minutes from you, even though I moved to a different neighborhood.
I love that.
Yeah, it's the best.
You're probably even closer than you were before then.
I'm literally the same distance.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
Anyway, that was like the first thing I checked. I was like, wait, but...
I know. I'm glad. Once you told me how close you were going to be, I was relieved because I was a little sad. I was like, I just moved into the neighborhood
just
and
got
you're
here.
Leaving.
Yeah, I know. The timing fucking
but
sucked.
The fact that you're still really close.
So close.
And I get to go to a cute neighborhood.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited for you to see my place.
Me too.
Okay. Anyway, thanks for listening. Do you want to play us out?
Ooh. Why not? Should I do like a Britney Spears impression?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if I could do it.
Yeah. Honestly, I thought she was in the room with us.
She is. It's in our souls. Yeah. She's part of us.
Damn, Liz. That's fucking facts.
I'm just... I feel like you... Will you do it? I feel like you're ready.
We love you.
Also, since this is an audio medium, you guys don't know this, Mr. Liz is in the kitchen right next to us.
I think he actually left.
Okay.
He heard that we were doing our outro and he's like,
I gotta go.
Dead. Yeah.
Secondhand embarrassment.
He just disintegrated. He didn't even leave.
He died of embarrassment.
Turned into dust.
Secondhand embarrassment.
All right, let's do this. Okay.
Okay.
We love you.
Our children.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets worse every time.
See, that's where we disagree. That's the one thing we disagree on. I think it gets more beautiful.
I think
every
the
week.
Listeners like it.
Yeah, and that's all.
They did tell us. They told us it was a treat.
We do this for our children.
Okay, bye.
Bye.